Good morning and Happy New Year. We're starting the year off right. 3-4 minutes late. Happy New Year. I hope you all had wonderful holidays and are looking forward to a very productive new year. I'm very excited about all the opportunities that are going to be available to us and the hard efforts and work of our staff and team. I'm just so proud to be a part of this organization. So I wish you all the best for this year, and let's not let it go too fast, right? Let's enjoy it. So thank you. And I'm going to call it 9:05. Does anybody have any comments, sir? 9:05? Thank you very much. Chair Tussin will not be here this morning. He's traveling, so I'm happy to be able to lead this meeting for you today. The members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must complete a speaker request form before the meeting. So hopefully, if you have comments or you want to address the commission, you have completed forms. And I'll hesitate for just a minute, so if you need to run up there and get one, please do so. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes. Non-agenda public items are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Those who wish to address the board about a topic that is not on the agenda must fill out a white speaker request form, and they would be over on the side, I believe, speaker request forms. To speak on a matter that is on the agenda, members of the public must complete a speaker request form and submit that to the recording secretary, also before the item is called. Those who wish to speak in opposition must complete the pink-colored form, and those in favor, that would be the gold form. We will now proceed with the non-agenda public comment. User. Okay. All right. Thank you. And there are none. Thank you. Commissioners, do you have any comments today? Thank you. We'll now hear from our president and CEO, Mr. Rick Gentry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as always, I've got a few things I'd like to say. Mainly to just put on the record and give some announcements on some good things that have happened since the last board meeting. We have had two groundbreakings since the end of November. On November the 30th, we had the groundbreaking on the lofts at Zephyr, which was a second development for homeless veterans that's been started since the board's last meeting. This one is to be done by Affirmed Housing, and it's converting a former motel in the Grantville area into 84 new permanent supportive housing units. And this is Zephyr and the Lofts are the two that are going into this particular site. And there'll be more than 400 permanent supportive housing units that will be done completed out of Housing First, the initial Housing First San Diego plan, which was set out in 2014. Also on January the 11th, just yesterday, another development that's supported by Housing First San Diego. This is the Lofts. Excuse me, folks. Zephyr was the first one in November. The Lofts is here. This will provide 52 new permanent supportive housing units for our homeless military veterans. This development is going to be done by Chelsea, and it will be a 52-unit property, and located in Normal Heights. And these two properties came out of the initial Housing First San Diego plan, which this commission set out in November of 2014, which will eventually produce over 500 new units of housing for the homeless. And I think these groundbreakings are significant, and they will make a huge difference as we continue addressing homelessness issues. I'll also point out that in December, up through January the 4th, the three temporary shelters that were approved by this board at its last special meeting were approved. Those shelters, on December the 1st, the shelter on Newton Avenue operated by the Alpha Project was opened up. The second shelter located in the Midway area and operated by Veterans Villages was opened just before Christmas. And the final of the three to be operated by Father Joe's and on the Father Joe's campus was opened up on January the 4th. And these three shelters will provide up to 700 beds, as you all recall, for temporary housing for the homeless, and are going to be an integral part of the Housing First San Diego plan that this community is developing. And what all of this means to this agency is that we're moving more and more into a first seat position in dealing with homelessness issues here in San Diego. You all have seen it growing over the years. Probably the major step forward that we took was in November of 2014 when we kicked off our Housing First San Diego plan. I will point out that since that date, this agency, through its various programs, has gotten over 3,000 individuals off the streets. And at an ordinary time, that would have been seen as a great success. However, because the nature of the problem being what it is, that the problem keeps growing despite our best efforts, it's not always been seen. But I want to point out that for staff, a senior staff, Jeff and Debbie, and for Melissa and the rest of the folks involved in their homelessness side, as well as all the support staff, we are moving rapidly to providing additional resources to deal with this problem. I say that both to put into context the temporary shelters and what was said in the mayor's speech, the State of the City address last night. Pretty much everything the mayor said last night is going to have the Housing Commission front and center. We're there. He basically talked about three major areas of focus going forward over the next year. One is additional programs for the homeless. Second one was additional housing production to try to ease some of the supply construction issues the city has. And third area was some neighborhood support services for to help make neighborhoods more livable. For those first two, those are Housing Commission programs that we've had going on now for 3+ years. I'll point out on the second one, the one having to do with the additional production that the mayor reflected or referred to a number of streamlining measures he's taken down the street in City Hall for production of new properties. Those reflect heavily conclusions that came out of a study that we commissioned that came out of Debbie Shop in December of 16, which has led to a lot of conclusions in both planning and development services at the city and how to better streamline housing production. We've been in the middle of that. The study that we produced this past September by the Kinsey Group that projects goals and needs going forward is going to be another integral part of that effort. The first item that the mayor referred to last night was homelessness efforts, and front and center of that is Housing Our Heroes, which was a program that came out of this organization. Mayor Faulkner gave it a much better name than what we had picked out for it, and he basically used the bully pulpit of his office to help make connections in the landlord community to help make it work. But we hit 1,000 veterans in that program in September. And as you all remember, when we kicked off our Housing First San Diego 3.0 plan last July 1st, which was a near $80 million plan over the next 3 years, that included taking the lessons we'd learned in Housing Our Heroes and applying that to the other homelessness programs that we're operating, where we're utilizing existing private sector resources, housing units. So going forward, the assessment center that the mayor mentioned last night is going to be in East Village, and it's going to be wrapped up pretty soon, and we're going to be involved in the administration of that. The storage center for belongings by the homeless, which is going to be located in the edge of Barrio Logan close by, with you all's approval on the city council, we're going to be involved in the middle of that. And what that means for this agency is that what we kicked off over 3 years ago is taking another major step forward. It is all housing first. It's all focused on getting these folks eventually into a real house, a real dwelling unit of their own. And there are other measures coming that we will be involved in. I wanted to make sure you all understood that, and it well reflects on strategic planning efforts and goals set out of those chaired by Ben Moraga over the last few years. It reflects continued incremental involvement by this organization in some of the city's measures to address the homeless. I could not be more pleased with the efforts and the accomplishments of staff in this regard, both utilizing existing resources and developing new resources. And, Madam Chair, I just want to make sure that my comments on that were on the record for this board.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry.
Oh, if I could, one other homeless issue, if I could, ma'am. Project Homeless Connect. This year's Project Homeless Connect will occur on January the 31st. And Project Homeless Connect, as you all may well remember, is a gathering, a fair, if you will, for homeless customers that this agency conducts every year. It will be located at Golden Hall in the San Diego City Concourse. It's a one-day resource fair serving homeless San Diegans. I know that there were a number of you all who have volunteered for that event in the past. If you're interested in volunteering again this year, we'd love to have you there. It'll run from 9 a.m. in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. Our website has more information about the event. And I'll point out this is the 12th annual Project Homeless Connect that San Diego has had, and the 7th in a row that the commission has been the lead organizer on. I'll also point out that the point in time count this year. That's where we all rise at 4 in the morning to count folks on the streets, and which is organized and operated by the Regional Task Force on the Homeless, will occur in late January as well. That will be in the wee hours of Friday, January the 26th. And again, there are a number of you all have been involved in that in the past. We'd love to have your involvement again. And if any commissioners are interested in participating in either of those two, please let one of us know. And, Madam Chair, that concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So let's move on to the approval of the minutes. That would be the November 17th. That was our last meeting last year. Do I hear a motion for approval? Thank you. Thank you. It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion's approved.
Madam Chair, since we don't have a quorum to approve the minutes, we'll just bring them back for the next
That's what,
meeting.
You know, as I was saying that, I thought, do I really have a quorum here?
Actually,
thank you.
Actually, for the
we'll bring it back.
For the approval of minutes, we don't need. It's not an action item, it's a ministerial item. So three is fine. You don't have to bring it back.
Okay, thank you. All right, that's great. Thank you very much. So let's move on to our agenda items. So we do have some items on the consent agenda.
And Madam Chair, we've got two folks who are here in support of one of the items on consent. Looks like one of them would like to speak.
Okay. Yeah, it's both.
Yeah, so Chuck on the consent.
Would you hear it?
Let me do this. There's a proposed consent agenda for items 100, 101, and 104. We have two speaker slips in favor of item 104. The question would be, do those folks want to speak or just let it go on consent and be approved? Well, excuse me, 101. It's the budget amendment for fiscal year 2018 for Downtown San Diego Partnership Family Reunification Program. Yeah.
So thank you very much. My name is Ketra Carter. I'm here with the Clean and Safe San Diego Downtown Partnerships Homeless Outreach and Family Reunification Program. We'd like to say thank you, first of all, for the first part of the Family Reunification Program that we have completed 431 individuals and partnered them with their families or support systems. I'm here to be in favor of amending and renewing that funding because we are a very small piece of the homeless issue that we are dealing with. What we do is reunify people with their families and give them a support system to get off the streets. This funding is so important because we are able to actually travel them from one point to another point and put them in a place where they are able to get off of the street and not be here in San Diego on the street and actually be able to start their lives over. We've done a lot of statistics, and currently we are at a three-month rotational program where we have done the calls to 431 individuals. 214 of them we have made contact with. Of those 214, over 80% are still housed. So with that being said, the ability to refund this program and help another 400 individuals, we believe we have the ability to help, and we have to have that funding in order to do so. So just wanted a minute of the time to say I'm in favor of, and Clean and Safe is in favor of, and please. So thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Barbara?
Good morning. This is my first meeting at the Housing Commission, and I must say it was fun listening to the accolades of the programs you've already put into place. I'm on the board of directors of Clean and Safe, and I quickly just wanted to say that I approve, hopefully you approve of the funding for this program. And one thing that I wanted you to focus on and really land on, and of all the programs that we do, probably we all know, there's not only preliminary discussion of a program, then the action of the program, and then the follow-through for the program. So when you listen to the statistics regarding how this, our agency, the reunification program, does in fact continue conversation with those that they have placed to be reassured that they are successfully reunited with their family. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We look forward to seeing you in the future. I think we're still at the adoption, aren't we? Right. We're looking for a motion and approval and a second on the consent agenda, which includes item 100, 101, and 104.
Motion.
Thank you. A second, please. Thank you. We don't have a quorum, but
yes, we do.
We do have a quorum? Yeah. Okay. All right. So the motion is carried. Thank you. All those in favor? Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for your patience. The motion is approved. next item on our agenda is item number 102, the authorization to purchase land of La Jolla Marine Apartments from the City of San Diego. And presenting today, Mr. Gentry?
Mike Papko, are you taking the lead on this one? Great, Jennifer McKinney and Michael Papko.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Cerdy, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, Mr. Christensen. My name is Jennifer McKinney. I'm the Vice President of Real Estate Operations. The item in front of you today is a request to authorize the San Diego Housing Commission to purchase the land from the City of San Diego located at 7410 Cuvier Street, commonly known as La Jolla Marine Apartments. La Jolla Marine was originally constructed in 1977 and consists of 4 3-bedroom townhomes and 4 4-bedroom townhomes for families at or below 80% of AMI. The property is subsidized with a project-based Section 8 contract that keeps the tenant portion of rent to 30% of their income. The city currently owns the land, and the Housing Commission has been operating the property under a ground lease since May of 2005. The property has not undergone a comprehensive renovation since 1977 and is in need of repair. The city now wishes to sell the land to the Housing Commission, thereby terminating the ground lease and allowing the commission to perform a renovation. The purchase price is anticipated to be a nominal fee under $10,000 with closing costs under $50,000. Maintaining the long-term affordability of the land and improvements by the Housing Commission as an experienced owner and operator of affordable housing serves as the rationale for the city for the transfer by the city at such a nominal price. It also allows for a comprehensive renovation of the property anticipated by Housing Commission staff to commence next year. In closing, staff is recommending that the board approve the authorizations outlined in the report, including the purchase of the land from the city. This concludes our presentation. We're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments, commissioners?
I think we can only hope that the city will make a habit of providing or of making these sorts of deals with us. So this is really promising. Quick question on the renovation. Are we able to do a renovation even if we didn't purchase the land, or why are those two connected?
We would be able to do the renovation either way, but this puts it in the Housing Commission's control, and we'll be able to facilitate the rehab and then have the long-term ownership. So it all kind of ties in together nicely and also helps with the justification for the low nominal purchase price.
In a major way, this cleans up some process issues. And I echo your remarks. Hopefully this is not the only time the city does this. The same holds true with the next agenda item, to number 103. And it has to do with some expanded and improved relationships between the Housing Commission staff and the city's real estate staff, heavily engineered by Debbie Ruane. So I think this is just a way to take something complicated and make it a little bit more simple.
Move for approval. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor? Aye. Motion approved. Thank you very much. We really appreciate all of your efforts. Next item on the agenda is 103. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, good morning, commissioners. My name is Mike Papko. I'm the Senior Vice President of Real Estate, and this is a very similar presentation for the one that we just heard. But the item in front of you is a request to authorize the Housing Commission to purchase the land under San Diego Square, located at 1055 9th Avenue from the City of San Diego, and authorize the commission upon the acquisition to execute a percentage ground lease of the land to Housing Development Partners. San Diego Square was constructed in 1979 and rehabilitated in 2016, including a comprehensive renovation of the building's interior and exterior. The property is a 12-story residential tower comprised of 154 one-bedroom apartments, in addition to a 19,000-square-foot commercial building containing our newly constructed senior center. 155 apartments are set aside for low-income seniors, 62 and older, that are below 60% of AMI. The project receives a HUD Section 8 rental assistance contract, which keeps tenant portion of rents under 30% of income. On May 14, 2013, the City Council authorized a percentage ground lease between the city and HDP in conjunction with the acquisition and rehabilitation. The 65-year ground lease maintains the long-term affordability of the asset and ownership by a public entity. The city now wishes to sell the Housing Commission its ownership of the land currently leased to HDP, and the purchase price is anticipated to be a nominal fee under $10,000, with closing costs anticipated under $50,000, similar to the La Jolla Marine. Subsequent to the purchase of the land, the Housing Commission will execute a percentage ground lease with HDP, which will maintain the same terms and affordability restrictions as the original ground lease with the city. Maintaining the long-term affordability of the land and improvements by the Housing Commission as an experienced owner and operator of affordable housing serves as the rationale for the transfer. In closing, staff is recommending that the board approve the authorization outlined in the report, including the purchase of the land from the city and the subsequent ground lease to HDP. That concludes our presentation. We're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Questions, commissioners? Second? It's been moved and second for approval. All those in favor, please signify. Aye. The motion is approved. Thank you very much for all of your efforts, you and your team.
Nice report. Happy to.
Mr. Gentry, our next item on the agenda is 105, the workshop discussion, multifamily housing revenue bonds. Would you like to introduce Mr. Miyahara?
Would love to. Ted, come on up. This is item number 105 on the agenda, workshop and discussion, multifamily housing revenue bonds. We staff figured it would be a good subject matter for the board to hear a presentation on how the financing is done for the major part of the properties that we help produce. And we figured this is a program, particularly with it surviving the tax reform last month, or at least part of it surviving, that this would be a timely occasion for us to talk about it. I'll point out that the companion item number 106, I asked to pull that one because, frankly, the issue is not quite ripe enough yet to bring to this board for conversations. We'll bring that one back as issues develop. But 105, workshop discussion, Ted Miyahara, take it away, please.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners. Ted Miyahara, Vice President of Housing Finance. As Rick indicated, I'm providing a workshop on our multifamily housing revenue bond program. As you know, the Housing Authority is authorized to issue bonds in the City of San Diego. The Housing Commission facilitates that issuance of bonds on behalf of the Housing Authority pursuant to our bond issuance and post-issuance compliance policy number 300.301. We often refer to these bonds as multifamily housing revenue bonds or private activity bonds. These bonds have been issued by the City and Housing Authority since 1982. The City and Housing Authority have issued over $1.6 billion in bonds throughout the years, which has financed approximately 17,000 units. 10,000 of those units are or have been restricted to lower-income households. So the program goals of our issuance program is increasing and preserving the supply of affordable housing. We want to encourage economic integration within our communities. I'll get into that in a minute. We also want to maintain a high-quality living environment. And when we serve as lender in addition to issuer, we want to maximize and leverage our funding. So we often pair our gap financing with tax credits and bonds. There are four major types of bonds. We are a municipal bond issuer, and muni bonds, for the most part, are typically tax exempt from federal and or state and local taxes. There are two types of muni bonds. There are general obligation bonds that's issued by a state or a municipality and backed by the full faith, credit, and taxing power of the issuer, and revenue bonds, which are the bonds that we issue, and that's backed by revenue from a specific project or revenue stream. In the case of the bonds we issue, the revenue stream is the income generated by the real estate. So the benefits to the bonds that we issue, they offer a number of things. Give me one second here. So some history on these private activity bonds. They were created by Congress. The Federal Tax Reform Act of 1986 established a detailed set of rules that regulate the use of these private activity bonds. And federal law limits how much tax-exempt debt a state can issue in any given calendar year. In 2017, the state was allowed to issue approximately $3.9 billion in bonds. The California Debt Limit Allocation Committee, also known as CDLAC, I know we throw a lot of acronyms around, we reference them as CDLAC all the time, is the state agency responsible for allocating the bonds. They also are responsible for a number of things, setting the annual state ceiling and administrative functions. There are currently three programs that the state uses to allocate these bonds. We apply under the Qualified Residential Rental Project Program. And it's no secret that the state is in a housing crisis. In 2017, $3.3 billion of the $3.9 billion was allocated towards rental housing. The state treasurer recognized that at the beginning of 2017 and actually increased the amount going towards rental housing by $700 million. So there are three notable program requirements that include income restrictions, the term of affordability, and the use of bond proceeds. Borrowers must elect what's known in the industry as a set-aside election. A minimum of 20% of the units must be set aside to households with incomes up to 50% of the area median income, or 60% of the project must be set aside for households with incomes up to 60% of the area median income. The affordability term is 55 years, and 95% of the bond proceeds must go towards eligible costs. And the bonds that we issue can be publicly offered or privately placed. What that means is publicly offered, they're out in the open market. Me, you could go purchase them. Privately placed is a qualified institutional buyer or a qualified accredited investor buys the bonds directly. The majority of the bonds that we issue are purchased by large banks. So what's the benefits to the program, and why do developers want to use this source of financing? It's favorable financing terms and access to the low-income housing tax credits. The bonds are below market primarily because they're exempt from taxes. We're in an interesting time right now with the Federal Reserve keeping the federal funds rate extremely low. In most cases, the interest on these tax-exempt bonds are much lower than a conventional financing source, but right now we're seeing conventional debt similar. However, when interest rates get back to a normal level, we'll see the benefits of these bonds more pronounced. I put an example up there. For example, a tax-exempt bond paying 5% is equivalent to a taxable instrument. The interest on that would be 6.33%. And the second benefit to the bonds is if 50% or more of the project is financed with bonds, the project is eligible to pursue 4% tax credits. That's a huge benefit. Tax credits are equity. If the developers comply with the program for 15 years, the money does not have to be repaid. And historically, 4% tax credits have paid anywhere from 30 to 40% of total development cost. So that's huge. So from the issuer standpoint, there's 10 major steps that we take in order to issue bonds. Step one is an inducement application. The project proponent submits an application to the Housing Commission. We conduct an application and feasibility review, and we prepare reports for preliminary bond authorizations. The second step is a Tax Equity and Fiscal Responsibility Act hearing, also known as a TEFRA hearing. This is a public hearing that allows the public to come in and talk about the project, contest it if they want to. The third step being the preliminary bond authorization. That's where we bring forward a recommendation to this board and also go to Housing Authority. It's the preliminary steps to issue bonds. After that, the Housing Authority will apply for a SIDLAC bond application on behalf of the developer. The fifth step, and this is concurrently with the bond application, the developer will apply for low-income housing tax credits. And this program provides affordable housing developers with federal tax credits that are sold to private investors who contribute equity in exchange for tax benefits. So it's this program is a public-private partnership because we're applying for the bonds and private equity investors coming in. Step six is bond document preparation. We use an outside bond counsel who specializes in this area of law. There are four primary documents that they prepare. There's a regulatory agreement, an indenture, a bond purchase agreement, and a loan agreement. Step seven is when we come back to this board and Housing Authority for final authorization, we recommend that the issuer, being the Housing Authority, issue the bonds. And at this point, the project is ready to close. They've lined up all their financing. They have the bond purchaser, the tax credit equity investor. They've gone through the city process of getting ready to pull permits. And so at that time, we bring forward a final recommendation for the authorization to issue bonds. And step eight being where we actually issue the bonds. The transaction closes, money exchanges hands, and they start construction on the project. So we bring forward a number of these every year. So what are some of the legal considerations? There's no direct liability to the city, the Housing Authority, or the Housing Commission. There's no pledge of the city or Housing Authority's faith, credit, or taxing power. These aren't general obligations of the issuer because they're secured by repayment from project revenues. So this is important. We bring forward large requests to issue bonds. For example, Park and Market last year was $216 million. We brought forward Civita 2 last month for $62 million. So I think the headline here is that there's really no direct liability. These are limited obligations of the Housing Authority. We also utilize a trustee. The money never flows through the Housing Commission. All monies are held and accounted for by a third-party trustee. The trustee disperses the proceeds from the sale of bonds, and also when revenues come back for repayment of the bonds, all of those monies flow back through the trustee, so they're accounted for by a third party. This is the flow of money. So you can see us as issuer at the top. We issue the bonds. The bondholders purchase the bonds. Those proceeds flow through the trustee to the borrower. The borrower takes those monies, acquires a project or develops a project, and once it's operational, those monies flow back through the trustee to the bondholders for repayment. I wish it was as simple as just issuing the bonds and saying we're done, but that's not the case. We are an issuer and responsible for overseeing that the bonds are in compliance for a 55-year term. So that means there's post-issuance compliance processes involved here at the commission. We do a number of things. The primary thing is ensure that rent and incomes are in compliance with the program. The developers also commit to providing certain amenities or features to the building, so we also make sure that they're maintaining their commitments. That really concludes our presentation. I thought that I would just open it up for questions and maybe have a back and forth. I know this is a detailed program, so you might have questions. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Excellent report, Mr. Miyahara. On behalf of you and your team, we really appreciate all the efforts that have come to this stage, behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. So, any comments, quick? Commissioners? Questions? Mr. Gentry?
At the risk of prolonging it, Ted, would you also talk about the monies that this board approves that goes into deals, how those fit, why they're necessary, what they leverage, and what they produce? Because really, what this comes to us, because not only do we induce these bonds, but they need our money too, in a lot of cases, not all the time. But if you could spend maybe 2 or 3 minutes just talking about that, please.
Sure. So, Rick, what have you dubbed it, lasagna financing? So the deals that we do have a number of sources of financing. I think a couple years ago, the Trolley Residential had 13. Imagine buying a house and having, 13 different lenders. But these bonds, let me go back to the slide and show you. So the set aside requirements, 20% at 50% AMI or 40 at 60. We are subsidizing rents with these programs, right, to the end users, which are the tenants. There are times where bonds and 4% tax credits still have a gap, right? There's not enough. At the end of the day, there's not enough income generated by the project to service the debt. So developers are knocking on our door for additional money in the form of residual receipt loans payable if there's cash flow at the end of the year. And so the purpose of the Housing Commission coming in addition to bonds and tax credits, is to ensure that, one, that we can build good projects. These are very expensive projects to build. And there's a gap at the end of the day, so they need a soft source of money with flexible repayment in order for the projects to pencil out. Is that what you wanted, Rick? Does that make sense? Yeah.
I just want the board to understand why we're coming to them for money for this stuff. And the tax credit program, as Ted says, has been around since 1986. The organization I worked for in Chicago before coming here was a tax credit finance agency. We would typically do the direct investments in these properties. And it is the federal tax credits that drive these programs. Without them, you can't do it. But even with them, there typically are not enough equity to make the property work. So there's the need for money from us. But what it means for us is that when we invest something like, we're investing typically about $100,000 a door in these properties. That will leverage three or four to one, sometimes more than that, on related funding. So this is fairly complicated stuff, and I just wanted to make sure that there was a good basic understanding of how it worked on the part of the board.
I thought I'd just throw it in an example. So new construction ground up. For the 4% bond structures, you see these come before you for consideration. When there's not gap financing from the Housing Commission, you will see stuff up in the North City or the Safita 2, where there's a master plan community, master developer. They're contributing the land. They're putting in all the infrastructure, and you'll see, these projects, $450,000, but they're contributing all that back, carrying back a note. So in place of the Housing Commission coming in with funding, the developer is subsidizing these units too. So these deals are pretty close to penciling. However, there's still a small gap needed for these things to proceed.
And if I may, good morning, Chair Surdy and Commissioners, Debbie Ruane. One of the key parts of this presentation that I wanted Ted to cover with you was the steps, and there are many of them, as you can see. and sometimes we're calling a special board meeting, or sometimes we're asking for something quickly. This is why it is extremely time sensitive for this process to go through, and we greatly appreciate the flexibility you've given us as we bring deals forward. If we miss a step, it unravels a hugely complicated system, so we just wanted to make sure that that was a learning moment for you as well.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate all the efforts and time that are spent in being sure that you have an A-plus presentation and an A-plus project. Thank you.
I got one question. Just one question. I think that's, I appreciate the time, you know, better informing us. But for the public in general, too, could you give an idea of the length of this process and why it may be difficult to turn money around quickly when there's a need, and why it's hard for an agency such as this one to take money from one door and move it to another door, even though we may want to? It's not in our capability to do so.
Sure. So just the bond issuance process in general, I'd say best case scenario is 6 months. So we have to induce the bonds, which is required by the state. They then have to apply to the state for the bonds. The state has their own process. Once they're committed by the state, we come back to the boards. Then they have to close. That doesn't even take into account for all of the due diligence, where that could be, you know, 6, 12, 18, 5 years for some projects. So it really depends on the project. And in terms of if we have gap money in the deal, those all require public approval. So we're bringing forward loan recommendations to this board and housing authority. So it's not as easy as just moving money. There's a public process involved whereby we seek approvals from both boards to commit monies.
And Mr. Mihara, just to be clear, and that's only our side. That's not construction. That's not acquisition. That's not finding deals. That's not permitting approvals you would need before you can construct. It's not all those other complexities that may make a project take a long time.
That's correct.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay.
Mr. Gentry.
Also, Ted or Debbie or both, I assume they're not going to share the joke, but would you also talk about how long we wait for a property? How long we might wait or might not, and why the money may take a little while to get spent from time to time?
Ted and I were sidebarring, and I apologize for that, but the developers work very hard on bringing a deal to us, and it usually takes a year and a half. In order for them to come to us, they've got to have things like appraisals, market studies. They've lined up their bankers. They've got their investments done. And it usually they've tied up the land, and it's cost them quite a bit of money. And this is why it's very, very difficult for the nonprofit developers to build affordable housing. There's a lot of out-of-pocket upfront costs. So by the time they come to us, they're very, very serious about this deal, and we expect that. We go through our process, and when we bring the deal here to you, to this board, and you give us your approval, those funds are essentially committed. They're not spent. The developer then has to go back and close the loop with the bonds, the TEFRA hearings, the tax credits, etc. That can take another 6 to 12 months. If they don't get the tax credits, if they don't compete well, they go back into the queue and try it again. That can take another year. Meanwhile, our funds that you've approved are committed but not spent. So it looks as if we're sitting on reserves occasionally. That is money that we are waiting to put into this project. And when it closes, the money then all of a sudden doesn't just go out the door. It can go out in parcels. So makes it very, very difficult for our CFO and her staff. That is the process. And so the money can be reserved for more than a year.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I know this is kind of coming out of left field, but I thought that we should throw this in as well, just because I know Rick had mentioned two groundbreakings, Zephyr and Fairmont and Twain. The market's changing. It's a developer's market right now, and everyone's, you know, grappling for deals. We're seeing developers having to even purchase land to be competitive. For example, the Zephyr Apartments, which is 85 units, converting a Motel 6 into studios, the developer, Affirmed Housing, was the proud owner of a motel for over a year. They also purchased the Fairmont and Twain land, and I point that out because these developers take large amount of risks. The marketplace is changing. They're having to adapt to what we're seeing out in the marketplace. So I thought I'd throw that out there because we mentioned, you know, having funding commitments in the long time frames that it might take. They're also applying for competitive financing sources too. So I think that's an important point to raise here, just so folks in the room can understand what developers are actually doing.
I really appreciate those comments from both of you and Mr. Gentry. And knowing a bit about development, I totally can respect all of the individuals that come together to see these projects come out of the ground. So thank you so very much. Really appreciate it. It's quite an effort. Any other comments, commissioners? Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, Mr. Gentry, what do you think?
I think you're going to beat Mr. Artaza's record.
You think? Mm-hmm. Mm, okay. I might have had a few things in my favor, right? Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you so much. We really look forward to another successful, tremendous year. I just want you to know that I am so proud to be a part of this organization. And the longer I stay, the prouder I become. So thank you and have a wonderful weekend.